After looking at a brief description of promoters, let's talk about the pre-incorporation contracts. These are also termed as preliminary contracts. So the preliminary contracts or the pre-incorporation contracts are those which are purported to be made on behalf of a company which has not yet incorporated. So a contract which is made for the sake of a company before its incorporation would be termed as a preliminary contract. So these contracts may be related to any property or to any business which the promoters want to acquire for that company. So whenever the promoters, they want that a certain business should be taken over by the company after its incorporation, the promoters would make certain arrangements for the sale and purchase of that business on behalf of the company. But before a company has been incorporated, it has got no capacity to make contract. So consequently, because it is not in existence, so no one can make contract on its behalf. So as far as this contract is concerned, it will be considered to be void. As far as it is concerned or it is related to the company, because the promoter cannot be the agent of the company which is not yet incorporated, because before incorporation the company has got no personality of its own. So in such case the company cannot be sued, or the company even cannot sue on such contract. So these rules we will see one by one. First of all, the first rule in relation to the pre-incorporation contracts is that a company cannot enter into contracts before its incorporation. So a company has got no legal existence unless it is incorporated after fulfilling the legal formalities. So it is incapable of making contracts before its registration and incorporation. So as it is also incapable of being a principal. So whenever a person cannot act on his own, he cannot be represented as well. So a company in such case cannot act on its own because it has got no legal personality yet. So consequently it is incapable of acting through an agent. So whenever a person wants to make contract on behalf of a proposed company, such person would do this thing in a way which will make this person liable over that contract. So although in negotiations of such contracts, it is said that this contract will be taken over by a particular company after incorporation, but still the kind of these contracts may give rise to certain problems. We will see certain cases in this regard. The first case is Kilner versus Baxter, 1866. In this case, Mr. Baxter and others, they were running a restaurant business, but they wanted to make a company which will acquire this business. So they entered into a contract with Kilner to supply certain things to the proposed company. The things were supplied. Afterwards, the company was incorporated, but before it can pay to Kilner for the goods, it failed. Consequently, Kilner went against the promoters, who were Baxter and others, for the price of those goods. So it was said by the judge that in this case, the company, when it was incorporated, it was a newborn person, and it had got its rights and liabilities after its birth. So if the contract had been made before incorporation, after incorporation of the company, it means that at the time of contract, if the company had already been incorporated, the promoters would not be personally liable, because the contract would have been made for the sake of a company or on behalf of the company. But in this case, because the contract was made before the incorporation, so the persons who made this contract were considered to be personally liable on this contract, and they were asked to pay the price of these goods. And in another case cited as Newborn versus Sensolid Great Britain Limited, 1954, Sensolid agreed to buy certain goods. A letter was sent to Sensolid Limited by Newborn, which was titled as Leopold Newborn, London. So at the end, in the end, it was proposed to be signed by this company, and Mr. Newborn, he signed on behalf of the company. So afterwards, due to the market situation, Sensolid did not want to complete this contract, and it did not accept these goods. So during the proceedings, it was said by Sensolid Limited that at the time of contract, this company, which is the Newborn London, it was not yet in existence, and this contract was made, or it at least purported to be made by this company and not by Mr. Newborn. So consequently, it was also upheld by the court that this contract, it was so here the contract purported to be made by a company which in actually did not existed. So consequently, this contract was not enforced, and Mr. Newborn even could not have enforced this contract because he was not a party to the contract. And the company also could not enforce the contract because the company at that time did not come into existence. So the rule which follows from this particular case is that a company cannot make a contract before its existence. The second rule in this behalf is that a company which want to get benefit from such contract, such preliminary contract, must make a new contract. A company cannot ratify or adopt a pre-incorporation contract. So if a company want to get the benefit of the pre-incorporation contract, it cannot do this thing by adoption or by ratification, because as already said, that it was not in existence. So it should make a new contract, and this can be done by novation. You have already studied this principle of novation, whereby a contract is replaced by another contract, generally with the similar terms, or by some change in the terms or some change in the parties. So in such case, the principle of novation may be exercised, whereby the previous contract between the promoters and the third party can be replaced by a new contract with the same terms and conditions, which will be between the company and that particular third party. But a company cannot ratify or cannot adopt the previous contract, which is a preliminary or pre-incorporation contract, because at that time when this contract was made, the company had not come into existence. So this rule was established by a case which is titled as Nettle Land Company Limited versus Pauline Colliery Syndicate, 1904. In this case, the Pauline Syndicate wanted to enforce a lease which was acquired for its sake, for its behalf, by another person before its incorporation. Afterwards, here the appellant company, which is the Nettle Land Limited, did not wanted to give this lease, this lease to the respondent company. So consequently, it was held that in this case, although the respondent, which is the Pauline Syndicate, although it is benefiting from this contract, but it cannot adopt or ratify the contract which was made before its incorporation. The third rule in this behalf is that a promoter is in fiduciary relationship with his company. So a company has fiduciary obligations, fiduciary duty towards a company on whose behalf he is going to act. So a contract which is made between a promoter and a company can be avoided by the company if he has not disclosed all of the material facts related to the contract in front of an independent board. The case in this behalf is Erlinger versus New Sombrero Phosphate Company, 1878. In this case, Erlinger got a lease. Afterwards, he sold this lease to a newly formed company. He disclosed this fact to the board of directors, but most of these directors, they were only puppets and they were acting on his directions. Afterwards, public subscribed to the shares of this company, but the details of that transaction were not disclosed to them initially. When these details were disclosed, the people from the shareholders of this company, they went against Mr. Erlinger to avoid that particular deal, and their claim was upheld by the court. Because reason here was that Mr. Erlinger, he did not completed his fiduciary obligations by disclosing the necessary facts which were related to the contract which was made between him and the company. The fourth rule regarding the pre-incorporation contracts is that a promoter cannot make secret profits. So while acting in the capacity of a promoter, he cannot make secret profits. And if he has received any secret profit, he will be made accountable for that profit. He will be asked to account this profit to the company. In this behalf or in this regard, the important case is Gluckstein versus Bonn, 1900. Gluckstein and others, they bought an exhibition and sold it to a company which was newly formed. So they got certain profits on this sale. Moreover, they also sold securities to the company which they have bought for very less price, but they were selling it at the face price of those securities, and they were also making secret profits from this transaction. So all as they were the promoters of that company and they were getting profits of the company, it was held that they should have disclosed these profits in front of an independent board of directors. So as they did not have done this thing, they were made to hand over this profit to the company. So these are different rules regarding the pre-incorporation contracts or the preliminary contracts, which have to be looked for when any person or any promoter is acting on behalf of a company which is not yet incorporated. And even after its incorporation, these rules must be fully complied with. So with this, we will conclude our lecture. Although we have seen about the promoters and the preliminary contracts. We have talked about the provisional contracts before. You must have known that, so I will not go into the details of the contracts which are termed as provisional contracts, because they are made after incorporation of a public company but before it has got the certificate of commencement of business. So that is a different thing. Today we have talked about the contracts which are called preliminary contracts or which are called as pre-incorporation contracts.